am hoping and trusting that you catch something of my heart, our heart, what we try and communicate. This morning is a watershed time for us. I had a great word and I forgot it. Zelda? There we go. Phenomenal, but not quite the word. But something of a watershed time for us this morning, and I'm praying that that the Lord will do a radical shift in Grace Life as we go through this morning. And I'm going to introduce something to you that I've never introduced before. We haven't. It is a new concept, and maybe some of you have heard it, maybe some of you haven't. If you have, please don't walk out. Stay with us till the end. We've got that questionnaire to fill it. Don't fill it in now, Pam. If I see you looking down writing, I know you're filling it in. Obviously, you all brought your Bible, so you have something to press on. And or just press on your neighbor's back as they lean forward. But we're going to have some fun this morning. Amen. And so track with me so that you don't get lost, but it's easy enough. This, what I'm going to share, is out of a book called The Four Chair Discipleship. Who's heard of that before? Four of you. How's that? Coincidence. A couple of you. And from a guy called Dan Spader. We've been praying as leadership for the longest time. Lord, how do we, and you know, who knows, Gareth Bailey, a good friend of mine, we talk about discipleship and what do we do? We used to have a growth track. Then we did the one new members class. Remember the new members class supposed to have last week? We apologize. It was Andrew's fault. It didn't get shared. And remember, the leader never blames himself if he's a good one. I'm just kidding. Always take it on the nose. So it's my fault. We didn't share it, but what we want to do is change the way we do that and perhaps go back to our growth track. But we're asking the Lord, what do we do with that growth track? So please give us some time. We are working on it. We're going to have it out very, very soon. Because we found that the new members class once on a Sunday evening is just not enough for people to catch what we feel the Lord is trying to say. Amen? And so we need to just work that out. We used to have a growth track and it worked well. COVID came, things changed. And we're going, okay, Lord, what is the next step for us? And so Gareth and I have been talking as a leadership, talking about how we work this forward with discipleship because it is so incredibly important. Matter of fact, we feel prophetically God called us to change our mission statement from encounter God, find community, and fulfill destiny to encountering God and making disciples because that is so incredibly important for the end times church. Amen. Who's with me? So can I have those props out, please, guys? In Matthew 28, let's read this together. Matthew 28, Matthew tells us this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth. Sorry, we did cut the worship a little bit short because I wanted to just have some time to share what I want to share this morning. Otherwise, you, in a combined meeting, would have normally had a little bit longer worship, but I wanted to just have some time to talk out these things this morning. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Say, all authority. On heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And that... tick Ryan. You see, he's a team player. He just keeps going until I change the narrative. Okay, you can stop saying that now, Ryan. And, Jordan knows the beat there. All right. Therefore, go. And that word, therefore, go, is in your going. So he's not saying, go, Craig, to Timbuktu and go do this. He's saying... Jesus saying, in your going. Okay, let me just wait for everyone. This is, all right, we all done? That's perfect, bro. Perfect. Although this is not central to those two there. That's going to bother me the whole morning. It's my OCD. Actually, I don't have OCD. I've got ODC with the letters in the correct order. All right. CDO, sorry. Sick, I don't even get that right. So Jesus is saying, in your going, make disciples. Go and make disciples. Interesting, he doesn't say go and be a disciple. He says go and make disciples. Because if I'm making disciples, whoever was before me was making disciples of me. Who's with me? So go and make disciples. So the command there is not become a disciple, it's go and make disciples. But presupposing that anybody who is making disciples will become a disciple of the guy ahead of him, making a disciple of him. Who's with me? baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'll be with you till the end of the age. So that's Jesus' last words to the church. Go and make disciples. So we know that that is incredibly important. Who's with me? Remember, he doesn't say go to church on a Sunday. That's not his last command. It's go and make disciples. And so we got to say, okay, Lord, what are you saying through this to us as a church? What do we need to take here to understand? So if you look at and that's what I've loved about going and chewing through this book and just reading extensively about the life of Jesus and going, if we look at how Jesus did things, it would do us well, like we speak as a leadership. How did Jesus live his life on this earth? Not much is said about from when he was zero till in his 30s. But we know the last 3-4 years quite well. Is this not too loud, Josh? Is this too loud for you, the microphone? So we know quite well what Jesus did from the beginning of his ministry to the end. And you can look at Jesus' life and go, okay, Lord, if you're calling me to do what you've done, because you know he says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. We understand, well, whatever you did on the earth, we just have to retrace your steps and walk as you did. Amen? So we just have to find out how often you went to church on a Sunday morning and then go and do that. Is that right? That's not a trick question. Is that correct? No. Everyone's like, did he go to church every Sunday morning? All right. So here's a question I want to ask you. Who wants to live a life that glorifies God? Okay, well, that's most of you here, so we can work with that. Who wants to live a life that glorifies God? Well, that's a little bit better. Let's try it one more time. So who here, sitting in this hall, whether you're here or in the overflow areas at the back, who here or online wants to live a life that glorifies God? Jeez. You must try that, Leo. It's quite difficult. I'm saying getting people to respond, I mean. So, you know that we can read and see what glorifies the Lord. Should we read and see what it says? In John 15:8, the ESV says this, by this my Father is glorified, that we go to church on a Sunday morning. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Interestingly, in the book of Colossians, Paul says that the gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. So what is bearing fruit? Paul likens bearing fruit to multiplication. Why is the analogy or the metaphor fruit used? Because fruit comes in bunches generally. Fruit, you don't just get one tree on an apple tree. Matter of fact, Jesus walked past the fig tree and cursed it. It was supposed to be bearing fruit and it wasn't. So don't go, flippers, God's going to curse me. Remember, that's Old Testament. That's Jesus doing something for our learning. Jesus took the curse for us. There's no curse on the church anymore. Amen. Even if we never give another cent. Why does Paul say the gospel? Because the gospel is bearing fruit because people are getting saved and churches are being planted. Not people are going to church on a Sunday, and so the gospel is bearing fruit. They're getting saved, and churches are being planted. The gospel is bearing fruit all over the world, he says in the book of Colossians. So we know that fruit and discipleship and multiplication is the key here. So Jesus tells us John tells us, to this or by this my Father is glorified, by how? That you bear much fruit, proving to me by my disciples. So basically what's happening is, my Father is glorified, Craig, because in you there's much multiplication. Who's with me? Now I can give money to the poor, and I can serve in the church, and I can join the team at the back, and I can do all these things, which is wonderful. And the Lord loves it because I'm laying my life down for him. But really the concept of discipleship is multiplication. Who's with me? And so we're going to start with one chair, and we'll see how it works. But really, This is the end point. This is what Jesus is saying. My Father is glorified when you are multiplying, when you are bearing much fruit, not an apple tree with one apple on it. Amen. And that word glorified is this: to render glorious, to make glorified, or to glorify, honor, and magnify. So who wants to do that? So the most awesome and potent praise I can give to the Lord, I can stand and worship like we did this morning. Thank you, Lord, and well done, worship team. Amen. Come in here every Thursday for a couple of hours and rehearse for you guys. Thank you. I want to say thank you to the worship team. It's a massive sacrifice. And they have life groups just like we all do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for that little clap there. And NIV says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to my disciples. And the Passion Translation says, when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature. Say mature. There's some feedback slightly on the mic there, guys. I think we might have to bring the volume down or something. When your lives bear much fruit, you demonstrate that you are mature disciples who glorify my Father. Mature disciples. When your lives bear much fruit. Who wants to bear much fruit here? Yes. All right. There's a challenge. Who enjoyed the tithe challenge? Yes. John 15, 8 again in the Amplified says, my Father is glorified and honored by this, when you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. So where do we want to be? What do we want to do? We want to bear much fruit. Amen? And you know that we've called to be a call to bear fruit? Remember, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So none of us, through any means possible and any excuse, can ever tell God, well, I couldn't do it. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now I breathe on you and I tell you, Craig, you go and do the same thing. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you to go do the same thing. You have the power of God in you that spoke sons and life into existence. Amen? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can do the same for us in our mortal bodies. The same power that said light be and spoke the universe into existence is the same power that lives in you and I. The problem is we just think bad and we speak bad. Amen? As someone once said, stinking thinking. I thank you, Father, that I have your power in me and that I can do what you've called me to do. There is no excuse that I can lay before your throne and say it was just, I just couldn't overcome this. Amen. Romans 7, when we're on this side, chair one, I'll explain the chairs to you now, but it says this, 7:5, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit to death. So that's the very opposite. Why? Because I'm making people the disciple of hell as much as I am. As a matter of fact, people in hell, Jesus told us that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that same phrase, gnashing of teeth, is used when Stephen is being stoned, not this stoned, with rocks. That's the bluff, guys. Come on. I shouldn't say that, eh? Sorry, babe. I'm going to get it when I get home. Just get some nice things, that's all. I wash a lot of dishes, guys. If you're married, wash dishes. I'm telling you. Nothing turns your wife on more than washing dishes. So you can all laugh, but they don't know. Well, washing dishes and posing, but okay, stop, Craig. When Stephen was stoned, it says that they gnashed their teeth at him. Why? That word gnashing was that they were angry. So in hell, people are weeping and they're very angry. Why are they angry? Because you helped get me here. And you helped put me here. None of you preached the gospel to me. So therefore, I became a disciple of the very thing you became a disciple of. I discipled you. Back in the day, I read a book by Graham Hancock, who's now become more famous in the 90s, called The Fingerprints of the Gods, about the pyramids. And I was like so blown by this thing. And I started speaking to some of my friends, and they started buying the books. You know what I did? I made them disciples of what I was doing. You like soccer, and you invite your friend to come watch soccer. You watch the soccer, next minute, Flippy loves this. He's going to get DSTV and watch soccer. You've made a disciple. You make a disciple when you get people to love the same thing you're loving. That's very simple. When I'm unsaved, I make disciples of hell. That's what Paul is saying, which is fruit unto death. Colossians 1:6, it says, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace. In the same way. So God is calling us to bear fruit across the entire planet, starting with our family and our friends and our churches. In John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and what? Go to church every Sunday. No, that you might go and bear fruit. Jesus called you, appointed you, authorized you, and mandated you to go and bear fruit. Hey, Craig, you got to be a pastor to that. No. He's talking to the entire church. Amen? So four challenges. Here we go. You ready for the four chairs? Try and understand this concept. Remember, Jesus is challenging every one of us. So every one of us is somewhere, either on the first chair, not saved, on the second, or the third, or the fourth. This is the end goal, friends. This is where we bear much fruit. Every time, and what I've loved about this concept and thinking, I go, God, Lord, this helps me as a man. Because I often speak to people, and I know that I'm always trying to challenge people, specifically two and three, trying to pull people across. And I realize people look at Craig or the leaders and go, you're an ogre. You're very controlling. You want to get me to do something that I don't want to do. And I'm going, actually, it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is trying to challenge you to go from one chair to the next. He's just using me as a vessel. Amen. When Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler, he said to the rich young ruler, go sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. Did he not? The rich young ruler, the Bible says, turned around very sad and walked away because he had great wealth. Jesus immediately turns around and starts speaking to his disciples. As a matter of fact, just before he speaks to the rich young ruler, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said. So when we're challenging you as leadership, or your friends are spurring you on towards love and good deeds, know they're challenging you in Jesus. I mean, they're loving you in the Lord. But in today's world, love is hate and hate is love. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Don't fall for the pattern of this world and think that whatever someone's trying to do is just hating on you and controlling you. Maybe they're loving you through God for something better for yourself. And Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell everything you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. What do you think that rich young ruler would have said in the moment, or would have rather walked away and thought? Oh my God, this guy, this rabbi that I've heard of, this very clever guy, is the most powerful person I've ever heard when it comes to financial advice. I'm going to go tell all my friends and family to come and speak to this guy because he is so sharp. Do you think he would have said that? He would have said, what a freaking idiot. Number one, how controlling. Number two, this oak knows nothing about finances and all he wants to be is poor like he is. No ways. I will tell all my friends and family, don't even bother going to talk to Jesus. He says he's something, but he's not. So just because someone's talking to you for something that you might not like doesn't mean it's not from Jesus. It might very well be from the Lord. And that rich young ruler, all he saw was this man in front of him standing, talking to him. He couldn't see anything else. And we know now, 2,000 years later, that that was the Son of God who existed from before the beginning of time, speaking to this man. If the rich young ruler had known what was going on, if he suddenly his eyes were opened and he saw who this man for who he was, he would have immediately gone and sold all his possessions, given it to the poor, and went and followed him. Liam Payne, who died a few days ago, One Direction, knows the story. A few hours before that, or hour before that, he's down in the lobby, and while they're kind of carrying him up to his room, he's saying, I'm effed up because I was in a boy band. You probably find that his parents in the moment when he was signed to that label and said, yes, by Simon Cowell, like, our lives have changed. Our son has begun to become rich and famous, and their son became rich and famous. Don't they wish now that he had never signed and never been in a boy band? and never been rich and famous because they would have still had their son at 32 years old. Amen. Don't know why I said that. Choices. Consequences. Key and Peele. Let's get my mind right off that now. Sorry, that's a private joke. The four challenges. Remember, these are from Jesus, friends. If you look at the life of Jesus, he challenges us all the time to move from one chair to the next. The first chair number one. Let's take a look at chair number one. Spiritually dead people. And this is the term, come and see. I wish I could have maybe had the terms up here. There we go. Chair number one, come and see. Say, come and see. So Jesus is calling people to come and see. John 1, 35. Says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. This is John the Baptist, by the way. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So we know these two disciples, and I believe one of them was John the Apostle eventually, they're following Jesus. They're kind of trailing him, but they're disciples of John the Baptist. Jesus turns around and saw them and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus replied, come and you will see. It is the invitation to Andrew and John. Let me see if I printed this up. Did I stick it on there? Did I put it up there? You guys read with me? I don't know. I can't remember if I put it on the... Nope. I don't know. Let's keep going. So that word, come and see, or that word come, just really means show up. Just show up. So if you're not born again this morning, well done, because you heard the words of Jesus, come and see. I know some people even now are asking and questioning, we're praying, they're on my connection card that hasn't made it into the basket yet. And I'm praying that their eyes will be opened and the question would be, actually, let me just go and show up. So you might be sitting here this morning and you've just shown up. That's you're in chair one. But you've got to come through the cross to get to chair two. Just show up. Friends, our love days. You know the love days that we do? We go out and we do stuff. That is to get people to see who we are, to drive past and go, hey, who are those guys? Hey, they're from a church called Grace Life. Jump on Facebook. Let me go see. Wow, I like, they're on the bluff. Yes. I'm going to go check it out. And what do? They come and see. Those love days are a strategic time. I want to encourage you to make them. Strategic time, because what we're doing is we are helping people to encounter God just to get onto chair one, just to come and see. Come and see. Who's with me? I want to encourage you. Invite your friends and your family so they can come onto chair one. Come and see. You got to start there. Every one of us in this room started here. We just want to come and see. Jumping online, let me see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. You invite your friend. Let them sit here. Come and see. That is chair one. Very, very important. And it's all of us that I believe Jesus calls us to help people get onto that chair. Amen? Because from there, they can encounter God. We've had people come to our encountering evenings of just worship, and they've come here to come and see, and God has touched them. That is an incredibly important chair. It's not just for the leaders. It's for every one of us to help people to get them onto that chair. Who's with me? Easy enough? Just show up. Chair number two. Remember this though. Come and see. You must be born again. Jesus tells us, in order for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we have to be born again. Paul says us we are just bearing fruit to death, still under the law, under a means of righteousness that is not Jesus. It's all our own. Matter of fact, the rich young ruler was erred and he made an error thinking that his law keeping was keeping him righteous. And he said, look, I've obeyed all the law. I've obeyed all of it. He says, what can I do to get eternal life? And Jesus says, follow the law. And he says, well, because remember, Jesus was still Old Testament, hadn't yet gone to the cross yet. Remember that. Old Testament doesn't start at the beginning of Matthew. It starts at the cross. Sorry, the New Testament. And the rich young ruler says, how do I get born? Or rather, how do I get into heaven? He says, follow the law. He says, well, I've done that my whole life. And Jesus goes, oh, have you? Oh, have you? Knowing in his heart that this man hasn't. Because the first commandment is love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And if you love God like that, you would not love money, because you cannot love money and God at the same time. So he says to the guy, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. You go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Let's see how much you love money. And he walks away. What was he doing? Relying on his own righteousness to get into heaven. We have to go through the cross, friends. We have to go through the cross. Jesus became the curse on the cross so that we could walk in his blessing. He took our sin so that we become righteous. Amen. That is the first step to help people come and see. Spiritually dead people. Chair number two, follow me. The second challenge, and this is adolescence if you want. So spiritually dead, get born again, little babies, and now they become adolescents. Do you want to see what this chair is? I'm glad you do, Ryan. Are you tracking with me so far? All right. In John, looks like 1,400. That's not correct. Yep, look at that. John 1 in verse 4,343. You got that in your Bibles? John 14. I'm not even sure anymore. Might be John 1, 4 or John 14, 3. Who can help me there? John 1, 4. All right, thank you. That can't be John 14. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. So it's not come and see anymore. That's follow me. Finding Philip, follow me. Matthew 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. And that word follow in the Greek is akolothia. Let's say that together, akolothia. And it means this, to come behind, to follow in my steps, to join me in the journey as a disciple. Ryan, why don't you stand up for me and walk that way? Yes, I'm going to follow you. This is it. This is it. Where you go, I go. See, no, that's not following. There we go. Where he goes, I go. You see that? There we go. Go wherever you go, Ryan, I'm following you. Yes, yes. Okay. That's it. Yes. Wonderful. How's that? Wherever Jesus goes, I follow. That is the concept on chair two. Follow me. Chair one, unsaved. On my way to eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. Whatever hell may be, it's just not a good place. No light, no love. Utter darkness. Through the cross, I follow Jesus. This challenge is a call to a deeper level of discipling. It demands a learning process of walking in the steps of the Master. It paints a picture of becoming like the one we are following, allowing him to lead us. It demands that we walk as he walked, love as he loves, do what he did, serve as he served. It is a challenge to be a learner, which is the word disciple. That's what it literally means. That is being a disciple. Who's with me? So that's where it starts. This is where it starts. I have to be a disciple of Jesus. I have to follow what Jesus does. Many people, friends, think this is it. You come to church on a Sunday and that's it. Not realizing that that is not following Jesus. Would Jesus be here on a Sunday? You bet you. I believe this place is full of angels. I believe there's angels walking even up and down here now, pouring bowls of fire and anointing on people as I speak. Jesus is here with us right now. Amen. He's in our midst right now. The angelic host, if you could see around, you've got to open your eyes. There'd be angelic hosts all around. There might even be demons watching, going, I don't like what's happening with that one. I thought I had them. I don't like that they're pitched up there now. And the angels are encouraging, protecting, watching over. They love Grace Life. They love the leadership. They love you. They love the elders, the deacons, and the saints. They love everything we do. The angel's sitting here right now going, if that was a call and I was a human being, I'd go down and start helping in the connection card team. The angels are perplexed that we don't follow Jesus and believe in him. Amen. But they know that we are sons of God. Nowhere in the Bible are the angelic beings now called sons of God. Except allegorically in the Old Testament with the fallen angels. But now the sons and the daughters of God are his bride. Amen? And we follow him. Who's with me? That is chair number two. I believe many people are stuck here. Friends, there are barriers in between each chair. As a matter of fact, next year, probably in the beginning of next year, we want to do a seven or eight week series on this whole thing and just unpack every chair and even the sticking points, the barriers between each one and how to break them, how to overcome them. Amen. Why? Because God wants us to move from one to the next. He wants us to become mature. As I sent you, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. We have to understand, friends, that the Father didn't send Jesus to church on a Sunday morning. That was his Christianity. And Jesus was clear. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What I do, you do. Paul himself said, as I follow me as I follow Jesus. What I'm doing, he says to Timothy, what you've seen and heard in me, Timothy, you teach to faithful men, qualified men, we're able to teach others. Amen? All right, chair number three. You got this so far. Come and see. Follow me. Chair number three. This is the young man. So chair number one, unsaved. Chair number two, well, you can say a baby through here. Adolescent, a young man. Remember Paul says in the book of Ephesians how we are to grow up and mature. Remember that? Have you seen some 40-year-olds that are just very immature? I have. Some 6-year-olds that are very immature. They're still like children. They flip off their handle. Like this. Massive mood swings. Amen? Uncontrolled emotions. Like my 5-year-old in a shopping center. God calls us to walk in maturity. Mature love covers over a multitude of sin. Mature love doesn't gossip. Mature people are staid and steady in their emotions and in their self-control. Who's with me? Amen. Amen? The third challenge. Remember, each one is a challenge. Jesus challenges us. He challenges the whole world that's in this place to come here. Then once we get here, and remember, he's very happy. We're not talking microwave instant here, friends. We're talking slow and steady over years. But there's always a challenge. There's always a next step. There's always going further in the Lord. Amen? You very quiet or you're listening well? I'm not sure which one it is. Okay, I got it. I need Grant here. Grant is very vociferous. He's working this morning. He's online. I can't hear you. Lord, we just pray for the matrix right now, writing exams tomorrow. We ask, Father, that you'd bless them. Lord, that they would study hard. And that they would do well. Thank you, Father. Even the matrix here in Durban Academy, in Kenmont, all the schools across the bluff, and actually across Durban. Bless them, Lord, as they write the exams. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Matthew 4. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. In verse 19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. This is the new NIV. My old NIV says, I will make you fishers of men. Who remembers that one? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Interestingly, he says, I will make you. It's quite a strong phrase. It's like, no one makes me do anything, Craig. And if you try, you're a very controlling person. Jesus says, I will make you. So sometimes we need to allow people to make us. Interesting that Paul tells us in Hebrews and elsewhere to submit to the leaders, to submit to the authority, not because they want to control you, but because they want to work with you for your faith to help you go from one chair to the next, to help make you a fisher of men. Amen. In Mark 1, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. The same phrase, I will make you fishers of men. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. How beautiful. And so they pondered and pondered and said, can't we just go to church once on a Sunday morning? when the weather is good, but not too good, because then it's beach time. Interesting, for most of the church, often it's fair weather Christians. Weather's bad, I don't go. Weather's good, I don't go. It has to be just right. I've got to wake up on time, because hopefully my alarm goes off. I've got to get there. I kind of scoot in as the thing's starting. Amen? It's like a movie. I'm there for me. You see, when I get born again, this is only for me. When I get here, I still live in a sense, I often live for myself as an adolescent. I have to teach my teenage children to begin to go, hold on, there's other people out there in this world called even mom and dad that is helpful to honor and respect and begin to do things for people. It's not all about you. The world, I promise you now, and I know it's going to be very hard to believe this, but the world does not revolve around you. You're going to see soon enough. And sometimes I say to my daughter, I can't allow you to get away with that because this is not the real world. You're going to get chewed up out there. The real world won't treat you like this because you realize quickly that the real world doesn't revolve around you. Amen? And so the God wants to do is get us to see, actually begin to live for others. Matter of fact, it's me, we, and others. All about me here. That's not helpful. A lot of Christians, and I would venture to say this, that even in today's Christianity, perhaps even in this meeting, a lot of believers are stuck on the me. I can't serve because it doesn't serve me. I can't do anything. I don't want to serve my name down anywhere because it's kind of inconvenient for me. Amen? Then I get to this chair, then it's about we. Actually, I'm going to begin to help because it's about we. But when I get to this chair, it's about others. Not just we, but others. I want to encourage you. With the others mentality, when it's a love day, I'm out there because I want others to come to know Jesus. I want them to come to this chair. So it's not about me anymore or we. It's actually about others. The motivation is not just to go and clean up the bluff. We put out our signs. And how's it if people driving past? Why? Because we love Jesus. We love our community and we love you. And we want you to come to know the Lord. Amen. Amen. It comes as a surprise to many people to learn the events recorded in Mark 1 took place at least 18 months. It should be up there. There we go. There's people staring at me. 18 months into Jesus' ministry. In these verses, Jesus is passing along the Sea of Galilee when he calls to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Contrary to popular belief, this is not the first time Jesus encounters these men. They had been following Jesus for several months, but in this episode, Jesus challenges them to go deeper. They move from simply following him to becoming his ministry team. Very interesting. Very interesting. Do you know that the disciples in these times, Jesus says, go take that donkey. There's a donkey there. Go get the donkey and bring the donkey to me. Interesting, he doesn't say please once in that asking. Go read it. Please, guys, do me a favor, guys. Can you go and do it? He just doesn't even say please. Unless the writer of the gospels got it wrong. But he doesn't say please. He just says, go to this guy's house. He's got a donkey. Tell him that the master needs it and he'll give it to you. Bring it to me. There's thousands of people. They're going to feed them. Put them in groups of 50. Go and pick up the baskets of 12 that are left over the food. And we just read that and go, wow, check what they did. Friends, that is service. That is ministry. Amen. The Lord is calling many of you in this room to begin to serve this ministry, to go and help pick up the baskets and get the donkey. What does that mean? Serving spots. Amen? Amen? Amen. You jump onto this chair. I'll begin to serve because it's about we. It's about helping the ministry become what God's called it to become. Not the leadership and not Craig and Dawn. As I said many times, we are transient here. We won't be here forever. Amen. Meaning that God, we're doing what God's called us to do now and we'll continue to do until he moves us on. God can move you on in a year's time, 2 years' time, 5 years' time. We are all transient, as a matter of fact. But at the end of the day, are we faithful with where we are? Are we serving? Are we doing what Jesus would ask us to do in that moment to make that place successful? Who's with me? Amen. Are you still with me?
Yes.
All right, you got some more energy in you.
Yes.
We're not too far. We're almost done. Here's the fourth chair. We're almost done. See, first and foremost, friends, it's relational. Jesus is about to make a greater investment in these people. from there to there to here. Now they become part of his ministry team. Now there's a deeper connection. There's more of time spent with those people. The deeper I go in discipleship making, the more time I'm spending with people. Amen. 1-on-1, 1-on-4, 1-on-5, 1-on-10, 1-on-300, 1-on-4, whatever it is. The deeper I go, the more time I spend with the Lord, the more time I spend with his people. Who's with me? And this is young man, of course, the third chair. The third chair is a young man. Adolescent, young man. I'm growing up. I'm maturing. And interesting, as I said, very intentional. I will make you. I will make you. Anyone who's counting for the Lord, if you look at the Bible even today, they have understood what submission is and gone, Lord, I submit to this because I know you are calling and I believe that you are in this. Amen. Amen. We've got to be careful that we don't see submission as a form of I don't want to be under control. The moment you do that, you're already losing the plot. If someone is calling you to do something ungodly, they call you to go places ungodly, to think ungodly things, you'd run as fast as you can. But when there's fruit and there's love and there's joy and things are happening, there's life, you know that the Lord is speaking. If he's called you there, submit yourself to the leadership so that it can go well with you. Who's with me? I want to tell you, if I'm being spoken to by someone who's leading me and they have something to say to me, the last thing I'm going to do is box with them. They even tell them they're wrong. Because maybe they're seeing something I don't see. Matter of fact, I sat in a room of about 30 pastors. And the one guy, a number of years ago, he was leading this group. And he started speaking to me quite, remember that, babe? Well, you're sleeping there, remember that? No, I'm just kidding. And he was very directive. And he started saying things about me that wasn't kosher in front of all these guys. And I remember sitting looking at him and going, okay, look, geez, I don't know if I agree with that. But I was not about to box with him. And I thought, you know what, I need to understand what he's saying because there might be stuff in here that I'm not seeing. And afterwards, you know what he said to me? I appreciate that you didn't try to get up and stand and box with me. And then we spoke. We actually had dinner that night. And he spoke some stuff out. Amen. And we landed on something. Very, very important, friends. I want to encourage you. Respect leadership. Submit to leaders. People are leading for the sake of Jesus. We all follow us at one stage in our lives. Even Paul was. Even Jesus had to submit himself to the leadership of the day. Amen. If you can't follow, you cannot lead. That's it. If I cannot be under authority, I cannot have authority. You've got to place yourself under authority. And the moment you are controlling, then it's a problem. I know people that have been in church, you're very controlling, but it's the fourth church in 10 years. Something is wrong here. How can we all be controlling? How can the problem be on all of us? Maybe it's not. Maybe so, it's with you. You just struggle, you and your wife, to submit. Okay. Bless you on your way. Amen? That's chair number 3. Fish for people. I am with Jesus, and I'm fishing. I'm with him, and he's helping me, and he's making me. He's teaching me. He's growing me to grow and to learn and how to be a magnet to pull people into what he is doing. Amen. As I partner with him and with the church. Who's with me? And it's not about Grace Life, friends. I'm coming to Langer. It's about any church that you ever belong to. I often say to our leaders, it's not about Craig and Dawn. It's not even about me. It's the challenge of Jesus all the way along the line. Take me out of it. My name could be Kurt or Johnny. It could be Paul or Herbert. Humperdink. Don't look at the man. Look at what's being said here. Amen. And go, Lord, help me grow in this thing. Help me grow in this thing, Father, to become what you've called me to become. Why? We could be gone in 5 years, 10 years from now. You could be in another church altogether. What are you going to do? I said to someone the other day, so what happens if God calls you a year from now to another city and there's no churches? Thank God, Craig is not around anymore. Jeez, luck. He was always trying to get me to do stuff. And there's no church. Well, now I can at least just go and watch sports on a Sunday morning. Sorry, what Bible are you reading? Yeah. Oh, what Bible are you reading? Well, I'm not a church planter. Well, it doesn't matter. What Bible are you reading? I'll make you fishers of men. You've got to start somewhere. It's not about Craig and Dawn or the leaders in the front row or the second row, wherever you may be sitting. It's not about Grace Life. It's about God's call on your life and where you're going to be 10 years from today. Amen. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I want to do what God's called me to do in this time. I thought like this 10 years ago. I'll think like this in 10 years' time. I want to be faithful with what the Lord has given me. Let me tell you, bitterness and offense will rob your destiny. Well, you know why? Because you will struggle to submit to anyone when you become bitter and offended. And perhaps that bitter and offense is not from Jesus. It's from your flesh at best and demonic at worst. And so you're resisting submission because you're offended and bitter. We have to deal with those emotions, friends. The rich young ruler would have been very offended and very bitter with Jesus. Chair number four, my last page. Has this been helpful? Yes. Don't fill it out yet, Lee. No, not yet. Put it down. Put it down. Fold it. Fold it in half. There we go. Chair number four, fathers. Who's a father here? Put your hand up if you're a biological dad, father. Now you understand something. It's not good when a 13-year-old becomes a father, is it? No. We go, phew. Okay, why? Because there needs to be maturity. But God calls us to be fathers. Dead in our sin, babies, adolescents, young men, young women, fathers and mothers. Well, it doesn't speak about mothering, but it says fathering. But you understand the analogy. Like ladies are fathering, but I'm part of the bride of Christ. So don't worry, we all get our own. Fathers. What does a father do? He multiplies. That's the core. He fathers others. I'd be a very bad father. Listen to this, friends. This is mind-bending or mind-boggling. There are 143 million orphans in the world today. No father, no mother, looked after by NGOs in the state across the world. Those are the figures we have. 143 million. South Africa's population is about 60 odd million. That's double the population of this country. No fathers, no mothers. Guess how many of them are adopted every year? Less than 1%. There are many orphans in the church, friends. Many orphans stuck here. We need lots of fathers. Lots of fathers to help father those people. Even in this room, we need fathers to rise up to begin to father the people in this room. You see, religion says it's Craig and Andrew and Ryan and Grant and some of the other leaders, the guys here, they the guys that must. No, no. We're called to father the whole church. Every scripture I've read is not talking to leaders, it's talking to us sitting here this evening, this morning rather, including you. Maybe that's prophetic, okay? John 15. I no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. I didn't know. Well, then you didn't read. You weren't at church often enough. Verse 16, you did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. I know I'm preached much longer than we normally preach. It's normally only a half an hour. But let's just strengthen muscle, shall we? Amen. Yes. I can tell you some churches, people will struggle to preach for half an hour. They're like, how do you do it? I said, I don't know, the grace of God. So I get home, I just keep preaching at dawn. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And John 20, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. What is Jesus doing here? Now Jesus says, I'm about to leave. I'm about to go. And I'm going to leave many, many of you behind. And you are going to become what I am. And you're going to do what I'm doing. What I've done on this earth for the last 4 years, 3.5, 4 years, you are now going to pick up and continue to do. Who's with me? How many disciples were there? 12. How many people in the upper room 50 days later? 150. They multiplied from that 12 or 11, then the 12 to 155 and whatever it was. Friends, multiplication is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Not addition, multiplication. There's a mathematics thing. It said, would you rather have R1 million a day for the next 30 days or R1 doubled every day for the next 30 days? What would you choose? You end up with 30 million at the end of the month. You say 1 plus 2, then 2 plus 2, then 4 plus 4, you multiply it. You end up with millions and millions more than 30 million. Multiplication is way more powerful than addition. God wants us to multiply. Amen? And we say, hey, each one reach one. Actually, we should be each one reach a number. Because we are called to be fathers who multiply. Amen? So this is way more important. And every one of us is called from chair 1, through the cross to chair 2, to chair 3, to chair 4. So what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to fill out our questionnaire. If you don't have anything to press on the nape of your friend's neck. Oh, you didn't. Okay, who doesn't have one of these questionnaires? We want everybody to get one, please. See, the challenge, friends, is to go and do what Jesus did. Remember he said that, as the Father has sent me. Okay, let me just wait for that so I get everyone's attention. You all got one? Hands nice and high, please, if you don't mind. Thank you, guys. So before you fill it out, just one second before you fill it out. Okay, we all got. Has everybody got one? Who doesn't have a pen? Once you're normal, you don't have a pen. You got one? Yeah, catch. No, I'm just kidding. Auntie Norma needs a pen. Can someone get Auntie Norma a pen there? The writing's a bit small. I hope you're typing. I hope you brought your glasses with you. So here's the thing. Before you fill it out, Alex, okay, don't read it just yet. Every one of us is on one of these chairs. This is going to help us determine where we are on the chair, which chair we're on. It's to help you see actually which chair I'm on. If you don't know Jesus, you're on chair 1. Can I get one of those, please? If you got a spare one, Ryan. We know you're on chair 2, so it's fine. Oh, my Lord. I think I need my glasses here. I'm putting it off, wearing glasses in front of you. I look like a nerd. It's okay. Can you just hold this for me? So this is going to help you see what chair you're on. Of course, each one, there's a number of points that you write on the left-hand side under that line. You see the lines there on the left-hand side? And what it's going to do is going to help you determine, as I said, as you count up the points. But you've got to be ruthlessly honest here. Don't start just adding points there and get yourself to chair 7. All right. Friends, this is where the Lord wants us. Every single one of us. I believe that we are in the last of the last days. It's called us to bear much fruit. Why? Because a church is bearing much fruit, is making disciples, and we are making disciples to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why? So that Jesus can return. Amen? He said, when this gospel has gone out into all the world, we know the end is coming. And we need a church on fire, that we are fathers producing offspring, multiplying and making disciples who make disciples. Who's with me? Not because the leaders are calling it, but because he is calling it. This is going to help you see what chair you're on so you know which challenge you can take the next. And the next time we preach, you know, this is where I'm at and this is where I've got to get to. Who's with me? Amen. All right, so let's go. All right, answer each question. This is the instructions at the top. Answer each question. Do not be discouraged with where you're at. So do not be discouraged, please. See this inventory as a tool to help you discover the next step in your discipleship-making journey. A point value of 1, 2, or 3 will be given to each response. A score between 0 and 19 indicates that you should still be primarily focused on that chair. A score of 20 and 21 indicates that you can put primary focus on the next chair while remaining strong in all previous chairs in your disciple-making journey. Remember, as I said, God doesn't call us to be disciples, but to make disciples. But in making disciples, of course, I'm going to be one. All right, shall we go? Chair number one, a seeker or come and see. So disagree is big one, unsure is two, and agree is three. All right, so there, number one, I'm confident that I'll be with God in heaven after I die. So I'm going to read them out, just fill them in. All right. I could never be good enough to earn my way to heaven. Feels like we're at school here. Number six, writing tomorrow and we're writing today. Religious acts like going to church, reading the Bible, my Bible, and following religious rules do not make me a Christian. I mean, simple enough. If we're born again, simple enough. There is only one way to God, and that is through faith in his son, Jesus. Remember, either you disagree, like it's not, you're not there, you're unsure too, or you fully agree. This is where you are, number three, 3 points there. I've put my faith in Jesus' death and resurrection as the only payment for my sin, my unbelief. Number six, my commitment to follow Jesus is a response to God's grace and the gift of salvation I've received. And number seven, those who don't put their faith in Jesus will be separated from God for eternity in hell or the lake of fire. All right, so that's chair number one. If the total score of chair one is 19 plus, you can continue the assessment below. Otherwise, you're in chair one. All right, we all good with that? Okay, can we move on? Okay, chair number two, believer. Well, this is the follow me. Okay, point number eight. I am, so now the numbers here are weak, one, improving, and strong. So not disagree, unsure, agree. Okay, now it's weak. I'm weak in this area, or I'm improving, I'm getting better. Number two, or I'm strong, I'm doing it. Okay, number eight, I am consistently developing the character of Christ. Okay, you got that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm consistently developing the character of Jesus. So if you're struggling there, it's one. If you're improving, it's two. If you're strong, you do that consistently, it's three. Number nine, I am consistently developing the priorities of Jesus daily. Loving God, loving people. We thought about sending this home with you so that you could do it at home. But I was quite keen because I've taken some of our leaders through this and I wanted to go through it with them and explain some stuff. So I'm just hoping that you are good with this. And we're kind of halfway here. We're almost done. Okay, number 10. I recognize Christ as Lord and strive to put him first in every area of my life. Time, money, and relationships. I'm either weak at that, I'm improving, number two, or I'm strong. Some of you are just staring at me. So I'm wondering if you don't have the questionnaire, you don't have a pen, or you're just disobedient. All right. Or you already filled it out while I was preaching. All right, moving on. Number 11. I am dependent on Jesus or God's Spirit for strength and direction in my everyday life. One, two, or three. Number 12, I spend time with God each day by reading his word and talking to him through prayer. Number 13, I know my spiritual gifts and I'm actively using them and serving others. I see some guys with their arms folded, but I know they've already filled out the questionnaire during the week, just in case you're wondering if they are disobedient. All right, number 14. I am concerned for those who don't know Jesus and want to share him with them. If the total score of the chair 2 is 14 plus, you can continue the assignment below. Otherwise, you're on chair 2. And you're still on this one. All right, remember, be honest. Okay, no one's going to see it anyway. And maybe unless you marry, you show your wife, but we're not going to see it. But still, just be as honest as you can. All right, can we move to chair 3? Yes, no? Rion? Number 15, I am pursuing relationships with spiritually lost people and praying for their salvation. I am pursuing relationships with spiritually lost people and praying for their salvation. Number 16, I know how to communicate my salvation story well, my testimony. Number 17, I know how to share the gospel's message simply and clearly in a few minutes. Easy enough. Number 18, I am looking for and acting upon opportunities to share the gospel message verbally with spiritually lost people. We all got that so far? Number 19, you ready? I am pursuing discipling relationships with other believers and pray for their growth into Christ-likeness. I am pursuing discipling relationships with other believers and pray for their growth into Christ-likeness. Number 20. I know the basics from Scripture, what a new believer needs to understand to grow in their faith. Remember, someone once asked, which is more important, evangelism or discipleship? But I don't know about you, but I've been in a plane before and I haven't looked outside and gone, which wing is more important? You need both of them. Amen. They're equally important. As a matter of fact, evangelism, discipleship is evangelism because you're trying to disciple the unbeliever to become a believer. And that discipleship never ends right until I become a father. Then I continue to disciple. Amen. They're both equally important. Many Christians don't even know what evangelism means. They come to church once on a Sunday when they are feeling it. But actually, the Father calls us to evangelize and to make disciples. Amen. Number 20, now I already said that. 21, I'm consistently sharing what God is teaching me with others to encourage them to share their faith. I am consistently sharing what God is teaching me with others. This is a worker. I would also put in there that I'm serving. I'm laying my life down for the King and His kingdom, and I'm serving somewhere. Now, there's no points in that, but that's part of chair 3. I'm a young man. I'm doing what God's calling me to do in the area I'm in. Amen? I'm a worker, or I'm fishing for men. I'm being made to fish for men. God is helping me walk that road. Number 4, chair 4. This is disciple maker. So the first chair is the seeker, the lost. Second chair, the believer, or the follow me. The third chair is the worker, or fishing for men. Let me tell you, when you're in the back there and you're loving on people and whatever you're doing, people are walking through the door. When you're smiling and loving on them, when you're not sitting in the chair at 8:30 or whatever time, 7:30 or 7:45 waiting for the meeting still, but you're up and about and you're loving on people, you are fishing for men. We love that people walk through the doors and say, hey, Grace Life, such a friendly church. Why? Because we want a culture of people that fish for men. Amen. Who's with me? We're not going to the movies to watch something. When's the show starting? Oh, the echo's not working. I'm sweating. Okay, number 22. I have shown and continue to show others how to share their faith, and they are putting it into practice. Weak, improving, or strong. Remember, if your score of chair 3 is lower than 10, you're in chair 2. If it's 14 plus, you can continue to the assessment below. Otherwise, you're in chair 3. So if you're 13, then you're still on chair 3. But just chair 4. Number 23, I'm regularly meeting, a few more minutes, with at least one other believer to show them how to follow Christ or follow Jesus. I'm regularly meeting. Regularly means not once every 4 months. I'm regularly meeting with someone to show them how to follow Jesus. I'm challenging them. Regularly we meet so I can challenge them to the next chair. Remember, I'm on this chair. I'm regularly meeting with someone either in chair 2 or chair 3 and trying to disciple them into chair 4. Who's with me? All right, that's number 22, 23. 24, I'm walking with others through the process of becoming a disciple who makes disciples. I myself am meeting with someone and walking with someone to help me become a better disciple maker. Who's with me? Remember, there's always someone down the line. Weak, improving or strong. Number 25, I model a disciple-making lifestyle that encourages and inspires others to make disciples. I model a discipleship-making lifestyle. Remember, friends, making disciples doesn't mean I just connect with my same friend, the same friend every week and for a bra, same couple. That's not necessarily the means of what Jesus is doing here. Friendship is very healthy and very helpful. But remember, sometimes it's difficult to mentor or disciple my peers who are just on the same level as me. So don't get that confused. I model a disciple-making lifestyle that encourages and inspires others to make disciples. Number 26, I prioritize my schedule or my diary to spend time with spiritually lost people and disciple believers. So I prioritize my diary and our schedule to spend time with these guys. The unbeliever coming through the cross or the young baby adolescent believer. Number 27, we're almost done. I have discipled someone I led to Jesus, and they are now discipling someone they led to Jesus. Number 28, and this is the last one. I initiate new relationships for the purpose of making disciples that will make disciples. All right, have we added those scores? And chair 4 says that if the total score of chair 4 is 10 plus, you're on chair 4. Otherwise, you're on chair 3. And you can write, I'm in chair. There's two boxes there. I'm in chair wherever. I'll work on. All right. How's that? Does that show you what chair you're on? For most people, I can tell you now that Grace Life and in this hall would be on these two chairs. Most people. Matter of fact, I'd venture to say most people on this chair. God wants to bring us into this chair and to that chair. Not because Craig wants you to come and serve at Grace Life. Because Jesus is calling you to make disciples. Amen? He is calling you to go to chair 4. He's challenging you. And he says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Just as he says to Dawn and Craig, Ryan and Jess, Andrew and Pam, Grant and Lee, every other leader we have here, as he calls us, he says, as I went, Craig, I'm sending you to do the same thing. I want you, Craig, to disciple others, to mature them. What is the goal of the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist? It's to equip God's people for works of service. Why? So we become mature, attaining to the full measure of Jesus, Ephesians 4, to do what? Just as he was sent, so we are sent too, carrying the same heart, same spirit and maturity as the Son of God. And the last thing, why don't we stand together? The last thing I want to leave with this. Jesus, my friends, was fully human. He left his divinity and put aside his deity so that we could copy his life. Amen. Amen. He didn't operate as God, doing things as God so that we got no hope to do it. He became a man and went through the same frustrations but was sinless. But the things that Jesus did, we can do too. Who's with me? Has this been helpful?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. The next time we challenge you as leaders, please don't say you're controlling. Say, maybe the Lord is trying to pull me to the next chair. I have a destiny in the Lord, and that is to do what? Is to produce much fruit. Any tree, any farmer We know macadamia nut farmer. Any farmer on this planet wants as much fruit as he can get out of that farm. Why? Because that fruit means a lot of good things. No one farms for no fruit. They do everything they can to get as much fruit as they can. And even if there's droughts and there's this and there's that, they will try and do as much as they can to continue for the fruit to grow and become abundant. Amen? So can I pray for you? You want to share something, babe? Go for it.
I just think in this, who's on social media? I think it's so profound that it's called followers that you have on Facebook or Instagram. And, you know, Facebook, it's called the selfie generation, which we've heard stuff before, like the selfish generation. So you can either use it as Facebook or you can put out Fakebook, which is like an untrue portrayal of what you believe life to do, or you can use it as a strategic tool. And I believe that that is what we can actually do with Facebook and call it Faithbook. Okay. And, you know, it can be appealing to people with what you put out there. You can either rant and rave and miff and moan and have a negative outlook or portrayal of things, or you can be appealing and appeasing to people where they actually want to come and look. They want to come and look through what is posted on your page for those people who are literally following you.
Yeah. So thank you, Father. Lord, we know that you've called us to bear much fruit. This is to your glory. This is how we glorify you, Lord, that we bear much fruit. Interesting, Lord, that the parable of the talents, where the guy got one, the other guy got two, the other guy got five, Lord, that the five multiplied. Didn't bring six, he multiplied five to ten. The two multiplied two to four. But the one didn't multiply anything, and he just hid that talent. You have called us to multiply what we have. Help us be faithful, Lord, to grow our maturity so that we become men and women who walk and bear much fruit, Father. That is the call on every man and woman in the body of Christ, that to the Father's glory, that we bear much fruit. Lord, help us be a local church that bears much fruit, Lord. Much fruit, God. Help us be faithful with those in chair one. Help us be faithful with those in chair two, chair three, Lord. Help us, if we are in chair one, to go to chair two, Lord. In chair two to chair three. And chair three to chair four.